Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We ask, as always, shine that light in our hearts from your word and bring understanding and revelation knowledge. Inspire our hearts to believe God for even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Now, the God of miracles, do you believe? God has always been known to work miracles. It's a miracle to us. It's not a miracle to him. That's what he does. But for us, supernatural intervention of God is called a miracle. When God, you know, steps in and, interrupts our normal flow of events in our natural realm. And that becomes what we call a miracle. But if we can elevate our faith to his level, we can walk in the miraculous all the time. All the time. You can experience miracles of supply. You can experience continuous, multiple miracles. And when we get one miracle from the Lord, we don't have to stop there. You can get more from the Lord. You know, there's always more where that came from. You know, the Lord, whatever he does, he always does it well. And he does it in abundance too, you know, running over, not just, you know, barely enough sometimes, you know, but, you know, it all takes faith. Faith, we are told, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what is not yet seen. Well, I want you, I'm going to ask you to put your own definition of faith and miracle in the chat room. Go ahead. You know, what is a miracle to you? And what is faith to you? As a perspective, a few perspectives that I'm going to bring out this morning, and we're going to share. You're going to hear some amazing testimonies, and we're going to share some things here. But, you know, put it in the chat room. When you think of a miracle, what does that mean to you? When you think of faith, what does that mean to you? Well, let's see what people will say here this morning. Praise the Lord. So, the Lord is so good. Hallelujah. He is so good. Have you experienced him? Well, if you experienced him one time, why not again? And why not again? You know, the reason is, you know, sometimes the way that our mind works, it goes, we go up and down, up and down, you know, in the way that we believe God. If we were to believe God the same way every time that we got a miracle from the Lord, you know, I mean, you know, God will still continue to do it just the same way as he did it once before. Now, as far as the Lord is concerned, he's already done everything. You know, and it's left for us to believe God and to see what we can get from the Lord. Whatever we need, the Lord is capable of supplying. And sometimes we believe, and sometimes we don't believe quite exactly. And sometimes we need a little help for our faith, you know. And so, can you please mute your mic if you're on stage? All right, thank you. Sometimes we believe, and sometimes we do not believe just right. Our faith is boosted sometimes, and sometimes it's not. We need to have this constant level of faith. And sometimes when we are on a roll with God, instead of keeping on believing, you know, we just believe a little bit and then we stop. Or we believe for one thing, but we don't believe for another thing. You know, and, you know, sometimes we have faith for some kind of thing, but then we don't have faith for other things. And, you know, and why is that? You know, there's a story I want to read to us here. I will illustrate a point that I want to bring out today. Now, Elisha, 2 Kings and verse 13, was falling sick of his sickness. Verse 14, so I'm reading. 2 Kings 13 and 14. Elisha was falling sick of his sickness whereof he died. This was a sickness, you know, through which he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Well, they remembered Elisha used to say that, you know, after, you know, he said that after, you know, Elijah was taken from him. And he must have given testimonies. He must have said it because, you know, people remember, you know. And this man is still saying it here. You know, my father, he said, "A chariot of Israel, the horseman thereof." The same thing Elisha said when Elijah was being taken from him. Why in the world did he say this? I don't really know. But he probably just remembered it. You know, maybe a saying that the man used to say. And so he was crying over him and just remembering. You know how when people, you know, are losing or lost someone, you know, they just remember some of their famous sayings or something they remember fondly about them or so. But anyway, Elisha wasn't quite dead yet, you know, but he was sick. And Elisha said unto the man, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. Then Elisha said to him again, now this was the king of Israel at the time, Joash was. And he said, "Put thine hand upon the bow," and he did. Well, and Elisha put his own hands upon the man's hands, you know, so he's going to put a blessing on the thing. And then he said to the man, he said, "Open the window eastward," well, toward the direction of Syria and all the people that are troubling you. And he said, "Shoot." And the man took the arrows, opened the window, and did as Elisha said, and he shot. And he said, you know, as he was shooting, Elisha said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance." And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. "For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them." You know, and he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them and he told him, you know, said, "Shoot and smite the ground." And he smote the ground three times and stayed. And Elijah was furious, angry. He said, "Why did you stop at three? You should have done it five or six or even more times. Then you would have totally consumed your enemies." You know, but now, because you stopped at three, you're only going to get three victories, round of victories against these people. And so, you know, he stopped short of getting even more miracles because, you know, he just stopped. Well, I'm reminded of what Israel is going through right now with Hamas and so forth. And I pray that the Lord again will give them arrows of deliverance, you know, over there against their enemies. They come in, but you know, Israel doesn't mess around. You know, they're going to stand up. They're going to fight for themselves, and we pray that the Lord will enable them to get victory over their enemies. But I tell you what, that place is going to become a hot spot eventually. And so we're going to draw everyone into Armageddon, because everybody would, you know, the powers that be take sides, you know, and these things have been prophesied in the Bible. We've heard it prophesied to us in the prophetic scrolls by some ministers of God and so on. And we know it's coming. But for right now, that's really not my subject. The thing that I wanted to say here is this man stopped at three. He could have continued. And so this is an illustration of how when we are on a roll, we should not stop. Because the man said, you know, I mean, you had more arrows in your quiver. Why did you stop at three? Why didn't you just keep shooting until you ran out of arrows? You know, there are many stories like that, is that, you know, when we stop bringing our faith, you know, then that's when the miracle of supply stops. You know, that's just the way it is. As long as you keep on believing, and as long as you keep on, you know, doing the things of faith, then it works. But when you stop believing, then all of a sudden, the miracle seems to stop. So it looks like our faith is what actually gives heaven permissions to keep on raining miracles down on us. Your faith is the portal. I ask people to put faith, what they think of faith. Let me see what if people put anything. What do you guys think faith is? Well, someone said miracle is God's intervention and his great arm of power. Faith is I got what I ask of him, whether I can see it or not. It's really good. You know, faith is the belief in for something that, you know, there is no evidence of. That's good. A miracle is when God, you know, does unexplainable acts of goodness. Well, I mean, all of these are good. They're very good. You know, so your faith is what opens the portal to God's blessings and God's power to deliver or to do anything for you. His power is real, but your faith is the portal. You know, when you open up by faith, it's like you open that door and you give God permission. You say, give God permission? Absolutely. Because there is always this thing called the accuser of the brethren. And, you know, he go up to God and say, you can't do anything for her. Because, you know, she's not believing. You know, and, you know, she's saying something contrary to your word. So you have no right. You know, the devil is a pretty shrewd guy. I tell you, shrewd. If the Lord showed you all the things that he does, you'll be amazed. It's pretty shrewd. You come up to the Lord, and he's got that sharp tongue too. Come up to the Lord and say something and try to accuse the Lord of being, you know, unrighteous. You even try to do that. You say, well, you know, you can't go against your word. I mean, you know, they're not believing. I mean, you know, she's saying something contrary with her mouth, so you can't do it. You know, and then, you know, and they'll say, well, she'll come around. You hold on. Hold on now. And so the moment you come around and begin to believe what God already said, or you believe your own prayers. Sometimes we pray, but we don't believe our own prayers. We just pray and do the opposite. You know, then you have opened up gates for miracles. You know, miracles. One woman came to the man of God and said, well, you know, the creditors are here to take away my sons. And you know, my servant, you know, was a man that feared the Lord and so forth. You know, but now he's dead. And we have no money to pay. And they're now here to take away my sons. And the man said, well, what do you have in the house? You know, and she said, well, I really don't have anything, but just a pot of oil. You can read that story in 2 Kings chapter 4, the first few verses, maybe the first 7 verses or so. And, you know, so the man of God said, well, here's what you're going to do. Such and such and such and such. And he just gave her instructions what to do. And then he said, well, you know, go and borrow to yourselves a board of all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Borrow not a few. You know, get everything you can. And this story is very important because it also again illustrates the same point. And so she did. She went in, she locked the door, she told her kids, you know, bring me a vessel, and they brought it. And the kids went around the neighborhood and said, look, can we borrow an empty vessel? We'll bring it back in a few days. He said, oh, sure. And they gave him, you know, and they went and borrowed everything they could find. And the woman did as the man of God commanded, bring me a vessel. And they brought to her, and she poured out. And the oil continued as long as there was a vessel. But the Bible says here in verse 6, and it came to pass when all the vessels were full, that she set the, you know, each vessel aside as they brought it and so forth. And she said to them, bring me yet another vessel. And the man, the young man said, there is no more vessel. We're out. And the oil stayed. Now, that's very important, ladies and gentlemen. You know, because there was nothing else to receive it. Then the miracle stopped. You know, so this is the punchline for today. The God of miracles. The God of multiple miracles and continuous supply. Do you believe? Do you have yet a vessel to receive the miracle that God is dishing out? Now, this oil was flowing and it wouldn't stop. You know, if the somehow they figured out a way to keep bringing more vessels, that oil would still be flowing till today. Whether it was 1,000 years ago, it didn't matter. It would still be flowing because the oil only stopped when the young man said, I have no more vessel to bring. So be careful now, you know, how you use your faith or lack thereof, because your faith is like the vessel that this young man was bringing to her, I mean, his mother. As long as you bring the vessel, the oil will run and fill the vessel and wait for some more. Now, just imagine that in your head. It's just a pot of oil. I mean, imagine it just, you know, the oil wasn't running over. It was just whatever was in the pot was what was in the pot. But the moment there is a vessel ready to receive of that pot, you can pour out and there's still more to pour, you know. So this tells us that as long as you keep bringing your faith, hallelujah, then the miracle is guaranteed. Now, the moment your faith stops, like the man who stopped at 3 arrows, I don't know why he stopped. There were more arrows in his quiver. Could have shot more. Why did he stop? I don't know. You know, because, well, you know, I've shot 3, you know, maybe that's good enough. Well, unfortunately for him, the man of God said, that was not good enough. And you had one chance at it. You can't do it again. You know, so that was it. You're only going to win against them 3 times. You know, and he did win against them 3 times. And after that, I came up against him again. You know, so where is your faith at? Can you bring your faith? You know, what do you have? Jesus said in Mark 9 and 23, he said, look, there shall nothing be impossible to anyone that believes. Well, we know there is nothing impossible with God. But, you know, God, you know, that's God. But what about you? You know, because, you know, we always talk about, well, you know, all things are possible with God. We also know that all things are possible to him that believes. If you believe, so this is another dimension of faith that I want to bring today. By your faith, you yourself can approximate the same results that God already has accomplished in the spirit. That's right. With God, it's already done. You know, because whatsoever the Lord doeth, he's already done. He doesn't need to try to figure anything out. He already done it before he even started. But our faith is what can pull that out and approximate where God's at. That's only by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when you have some real faith, you can really do some things. In fact, you know, there are 2 kinds of faith. There is common faith, which everybody has. And it's actually, that's the faith that gives us brings us to salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You know, for by faith are we saved. By grace we are saved through faith. And it is the gift of God. It's not of works. You know, it's not of us, lest any man should boast. But it's by faith. And also, you know, in the book of Romans, we're told that, you know, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. You know, so that there is that kind of faith, and everybody has it. If you don't have it, you can't even be saved. You know, so, but there is also another dimension of faith. There is a dimension of faith which is beyond Romans 12 and 3. Romans 12 and 3 is the one that says God has dealt every man a measure of faith. Everybody has some faith. In fact, just this Saturday, I was talking to some people on our outdoors outreach, and one young man was saying something. I said, well, you have faith already. I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, you use your faith every day, right? Yeah, you know, things you do that you don't think about. When you climb those stairs, you know, you just climb the stairs without thinking they're going to collapse. You know, if you are in a car, the car is driving across a bridge, you know, you just assume that the bridge will not collapse. When you're about to sit in a chair, on a chair, you don't first look to see whether the legs of the chair will hold you up. You just sit. And there's so many things we do, you know, which we just do unconsciously. You know, but we are putting faith in the things, inanimate objects, that they will hold up. And I said, and he said, oh, wow. I said, yeah. I said, so use that same faith toward God. But this time be conscious of what you want God to do for you. I said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah. You know, so, you know, we use faith every time. You know, I come into this, my office. I sit down on this chair every day. I don't even think about it. I just sit, you know. Who knows, maybe one day it will just, you know, give up or give in or crack or something. But I don't check it out. I just sit on it. And so we do these things all the time, you know, but that's natural, you know. We don't even call it faith. We just assume these things will work. But if you analyze it, it's faith, you know. You're trusting that this thing will hold up, you know, so. But that's a measure of faith that we can exercise, and everybody exercises every day. But there is another kind of faith that goes beyond the veil. Now, if you can, if you know how to operate, and if God blesses you with the gift of faith, for instance, my goodness, that really goes beyond. But even the gift of faith, let me explain this to you today. The very gift of faith, which if you know how to walk it, it'll be almost as if God was the one that spoke. A person that has that gift of faith, God will honor their word as if it was his own. Because they just say, it's like, thou sun stand over there, and thou moon over the you know, valley of Ajalon. I got some business to complete here. Stay in your place. Don't move. I got to finish this. You know, Joshua could do things like that. I mean, you know, tremendous. The Bible said, like, look, you know, he spoke to the Lord, you know, and the Lord, you know, answered him like nobody else, you know, but he actually only spoke to the sun and spoke to the moon. But that's how you do it. Isaiah 45 tells you, look, you know, command ye the works of my hands. The way the command the Lord is actually when you command the works of his hands. You command the sun, you command the moon, then you're already commanding the Lord. you know, praise the Lord. You know, that's the way the Lord brought it out. You know, so if you want to read more about that, well, read it in Isaiah 45 and verse 11. Thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come. Concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. there is no question mark here in the King James and in the original. Some later versions turn that around and put something else in there as if it's can't do that. No, you can. And Joshua did it. You know, Joshua spoke to the Lord. but it was actually the sun and the moon he spoke to, you know. But we are told that he spoke to the Lord, you know, and that's how he commanded the works of God's hands, commanded, you know, and he did it. Now, here's what, how even the gift of faith works. The very gift of faith, as incredible and massive it is, that can do anything. Actually, if you have the gift of faith, you can work all the other gifts. Because see, that gift of faith can believe for anything. And, you know, and but the gift of faith itself must operate by the regular faith. You know, isn't that amazing? And I'll explain to you in a minute. The gift of faith, as massive and powerful it is, must operate by regular faith. The same regular faith that everybody else has that doesn't have the gift of faith. Even the very gift of faith must operate by that faith. And I'll tell you why. I'll give you an illustration. Consider, you know, every time you go to the gas station, most of us have cars. To fill up, you know, your car. You put gas in your car. You know, all the cars, they need gas. You got to put gas, one kind of gas or the other, some type in your car for the car to move. Now, while you're in the gas station, occasionally you might see the big oil tankers that bring the gas to fill up the gas station. Yeah? You've seen that before? I've seen it many times. You know? Now, they have, these, some of them are giant. I mean, they contain thousands of gallons of gasoline. They bring to the supply to the gas station so they can sell to the public. But did you know that that big giant, you know, oil tanker or whatever it is that contains hundreds, you know, maybe thousands of gallons of gasoline. Did you know that that vehicle itself needs gasoline to run? That, so that's the comparison. Consider that big oil giant tanker that contains maybe 100,000 gallons of gasoline, bringing it to the gas station. Consider that as the gift of faith. It can carry so much. But if the vehicle itself, it's got to have some gas in it. It needs the same little gas that it's trying to supply hundreds and thousands of gallons for. That's how it works. Even your big giant gift of faith, the moment you don't have the little faith, it's not even going to work. So we see that everything comes by faith. If you don't put gas in that oil tanker that's going to supply those huge amounts of, you know, gasoline somewhere, it's not going anywhere. Now, but if you can get that gas in it, then it's moving. So we need to walk our faith. That's why I started this room today under the house of faith. Because this is directly about faith. And the lesson I want us to learn today is don't stop once you are on a roll. Why would you stop? Listen, when the Jesus was about to feed the multitudes and said, look, you know, the disciples said, well, Jesus said, feed them. They said, let's send them away because the stores are about to close. He said, no, you feed them. He said, how can we feed them? There's so many people. How are we going to do it? Even if we went to buy food, it wouldn't be enough. How much do we have? And Jesus said, well, what do you have? They said, well, they look around. Nobody actually had anything. This young man there hadn't eaten his lunch, sack lunch, that his mother packed for him. I said, yeah, take my lunch. You know, and they look, you know, what are we going to do with this? Jesus said, look, it is enough. You know, because the Lord knew what he was going to do. And when he put it, he gave it to Jesus. Jesus blessed it, gave it back to the disciples. And Jesus just walked away. He wasn't even paying attention anymore after that. And it was the disciples that gave to the people. He gave them instruction, though, you know, set them in companies, 50s or whatever, and then he gave it to them. And then he just walked away. And he wasn't paying attention anymore. And the disciples, you know, each of those disciples had a piece of bread and some fish in their hands. And it was the disciples that were feeding the multitudes. Now, as long as there were somebody yet to feed, you know, the fish and the bread kept multiplying in the hands of the disciples. Ladies and gentlemen, not in the hands of Jesus. You know, we've always thought that Jesus fed the multitudes. Well, maybe he did, but it was the disciples that fed the multitudes. Jesus only put a blessing on the thing and walked away, and he put it back in the hands of the disciples. Jesus didn't feed the disciples. It's just like they say, oh, the disciples, you know, Jesus baptized more people. And say, no, Jesus actually wasn't baptizing anybody. It was his disciples that were doing it. You know, so a lot of the things, you know, that, you know, say, look, just like now, you say, Jesus doing it. Look, you, the disciples, will be the one doing it. But we say it's Jesus. Because, yeah, because Jesus is the one that enabled us and empowered us to do it. He enabled the disciples to do it. But he himself didn't actually do it. He just put a blessing on it, put it back in their hands. And, you know, these disciples, they were actually partners with Christ in a living act of creation. That's right. The creation and the multiplication of the food was happening in the hands of the disciples. Not exactly in the hands of Jesus. Because, you know, I mean, how hard is it to break a piece of bread into 12 pieces? That's not very hard. You can do it. I can do it. Anybody can do that. How hard is it to break a piece of fish into 12 pieces? That's not very hard. Anybody can do that. So the part that Jesus did wasn't very hard at all. He just broke it into 12 and gave it to them. The part that was hard was for them to keep on believing that this thing that was in their hand, they just had a little piece, each of them did. You got to keep on believing that as you dish it out, as long as there is still more people to receive, it'll keep being dished out. Now, that part was hard. Now, if the disciples stopped believing, maybe something wouldn't have worked. But anyway, Jesus put a blessing on it. But, you know, as long as there were people to feed, the bread and the fishes continued to multiply in the hands of the disciples. I want to point that out. Now, and that's how it works. But you got to keep believing. Your faith is what sustains the continuous miracle. That's right. Note that down today. Your faith. God is constantly doing it, but do you have a vessel yet to receive it? You know, is your oil still flowing, or has the oil stayed? I will stay when there is not yet any more vessel to receive it. And even Jesus, one time we're told that he couldn't even, you know, around Capernaum and some other places and Galilee and so forth, you know, and Nazareth and all these places, he couldn't do great miracles because the people didn't believe. There wasn't anything. The deep calls unto the deep. When there is something pulling, then the miracle will happen. If there isn't anything pulling, just, you know, Jesus just walked away. I mean, can you imagine the Bible saying that Jesus could not do miracles? You know, well, because the people were not believing, you know. So when they were not believing, he couldn't really do any miracles because it was the faith of the people that was pulling the miracles, you know, out of them. And as long as they didn't have faith, and as long as there wasn't any faith, you know, then, you know, there wasn't really any miracle to perform. You know, so there are places where Jesus could only heal a few people. A few people. It's in Mark chapter 6. It's in Matthew. It's in a few other places. Mark chapter 6, you know, around verse 13 or so. It says, well, Jesus could only do, you know, few miracles and so forth. Because, you know, or maybe, you know, you can read it from, you know, Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. You read the story there. He couldn't do too many miracles because the people could not believe. And if they could not believe, well, then there was nothing else he could do. So it is important for us to continue to believe. And if you could believe God at any time, miracles are ready to spring forth. So, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, the God of miracles, do you believe? We ourselves can walk in the miraculous. You can, you know, you can be a life of miracles. You can just be walking in miracles all the time. You know, there's a song that says, you know, I know who I am. You know, I walk in miracles. I live a life of favor. I'm, you know, walking in miracles and doing all of these things. You know, I mean, can you make miracles happen all around you all the time? Absolutely. All you got to do is believe. You're not the one that's going to do it, even though I'm making it sound as if you're doing it. The part that you're going to do is your faith. That's all. But you have to do that part. That faith part, God's not going to do that for you. You're going to have to do that. Sometimes Jesus would say, you know, believest thou this? When he was talking to Martha, your brother shall rise again. Do you believe this? Martha said, well, you know, I know he will rise in the resurrection. And so on. Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that one. In fact, I am the resurrection and the life. When I'm here, that's the resurrection. Don't need to look for anything else. But I'm talking about right here, right now. Do you believe that your brother shall rise again? Well, she couldn't really understand what Jesus was talking about. You know, her belief system said, anybody that goes, dies in the Lord will raise again. And so she was constrained to believe that. And it was impossible in her natural mind how that somebody that was in the grave for 4 days can come out. You know, he said, look, he's been in there for 4 days. We sent to you several days ago. If you were to come, he would have not died. We know that. But now he's been dead 4 days. He's like, now he's thinking. You know, and now you show up. And Jesus said, you know, Martha, if thou could only believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you freely this day, if you can only believe, you will see the glory of God. And everything is for the glory of God. God doesn't do things for show. Anytime they said, Jesus, show us a miracle, he wouldn't answer them. You know, the Greeks, well, you know, they want knowledge. Jews require a sign. But either one, Jesus didn't even care. But then he would turn around, and by cause of his compassion, he would do the same miracles that they were asking to show, but he didn't show it to them. He would just do it and tell people, don't say anything, just go your way. So Jesus doesn't do things for show. And if we, you know, when part of the reasons why we don't have miracles all the time, because in our mind, we're thinking of it for a show, you know, especially ministers that are gifted, you know, and so forth. It's all about a show these days, a showmanship, you know, and so forth. You know, if we can walk one miracle, you know, put it on TV, we do all of these things, you know, we brag about it, we talk about it all the time. You know, it's just one miracle. You know, whereas God is constantly doing miracles. You know, it's not about a show. Now, but it is important for people to hear testimony because it will boost other people's faith. But it's not about a show. God is doing it. In fact, we need to get to the point where we see a miracle, we give the Lord the praise, we give the Lord the glory, we move on to the next miracle. You know, we don't, you know, just sit on that one and think that, oh, you know, heaven just came down. No, it was a miracle. You know, it's what God does and it's what we do. We walk in a life of miracle. That's just it. You know, it should be no great wonder anymore. It's a great wonder when we're just starting out. You know, we don't know how these things work. You know, we holler, we scream, we do all kinds of things, but you know, when you begin to understand it, you praise the Lord. You don't take God ever for granted. But, you know, you don't think of it as a one-time thing. When you finish with this miracle, you get the next. And you go on to the next. And if it's not for you, let's be for somebody else. You be a channel of miracles. Just be a walking source of miracle. Do you believe you can be? Well, let's read a few scriptures, and then we're going to hear some powerful testimonies. Matthew 21 and 22. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, there is a caveat to that thing. You know, what it means is, that's why the devil will take your prayer and your words, take it before the Lord and say, well, she prayed this thing, but she said this thing. And so that disqualifies her. You can't do it because you are a righteous God. And you know that. So the moment you are praying one thing and you are acting a different way, well, be sure that the devil will make sure that you are disqualified. You know, so don't do that now. You know, scripture says, look, don't let your mouth cause you to sin before the Lord, because the angels are there. You know, so stay with the word. Say what you are praying. Act what you are praying. Don't say one thing and then, don't pray one thing and then act a different way and say a different thing. Well, what's that all about? You know, stick with the word. Stick with the prayer. These are the simple elements of faith. You know, then also act out your faith. That's why the other day I was teaching about testimony. Don't wait until it is done, for real, before you give your testimony. Give your testimony ahead. That shows you have some faith. Praise the Lord, you know. So, and when you are believing God, then act like it. I heard a story one time. There's a whole congregation, you know. They had been having, you know, in a little town and so forth, there'd be no rain. Everything was dry. And they were praying and there was no rain. So one day they called for a prayer meeting that they should come and pray for rain, you know, and they, you know, that they're going to believe God for rain. Well, they came. There was only one little boy that brought an umbrella. Everybody else just came there, you know, pray. But this little boy brought an umbrella. I was like, what are you doing with an umbrella? Well, we're going to pray for rain, are we not? Praise the Lord. You know, that's how you ask for rain. And you believe it. And you act like it. This little boy believed that if they prayed for rain, there was going to be rain. So he brought an umbrella because I don't want to get wet. We're going to pray for rain. You know, but all the others, they just came there. Every last one of them. They're going to pray. They're going to speak in tongues. They're going to do everything. But they are not believing for rain. Not believing anything. But they're not showing it that it's going to rain. But this little boy, he doesn't speak with tongues. He doesn't do anything like that. But, you know, he said, well, we're going to pray for rain. Well, I better take my umbrella because it's going to rain. That's faith in action. You know, that's real believing. You know, so that's how you do it. Act out your faith. If you say it's going to, if you pray for rain, then take an umbrella because it's going to rain. Glory to God. You know, so if you don't believe it, then it's not going to rain. You know, so this is how it works. It may sound simplistic, but that's how it works. Again, Jesus said, look, in Mark chapter 11, famous story that we read all the time. He gave, you know, and I often say this, I say, faith is now. You know, I say it out of this scripture because this is how Jesus put it. Mark 11:24. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So the emphasis in that verse is on the when you pray. When should you believe? At the time of prayer. Don't worry whether the thing happens at that time. Jesus didn't say it will happen at that time. He said, you shall have them, which means it will happen later. But at the time you pray is when you believe. So faith is now. You know, so add that to your repertoire of what is faith. Faith is also now, right now. Now, faith is the substance of things, you know, hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. So I say faith is now. Faith is always in the present. At the time you pray is when you believe. And you leave it alone. After that, just praise the Lord. If you pray and you praise the Lord for one moment, then the next day, you know, you start to act opposite, then of course, you know, you just erased that declaration of faith. So let's not do that. Stay with it. And the Lord always gives us opportunity to act out our faith, or even, you know, it will give us a moment of trial or test to test your faith. Like he would say to Peter when they came to him and said, well, do you and your master pay taxes and so forth? You know, so, well, Jesus said to Peter, well, of course, we don't need to pay taxes because we are free. But nevertheless, you know, lest we offend them, you know, pay for them. Let's go pay. Pay for me, pay for you. But here's how you do it. Go down to the lake and go get a fish and catch a fish. The first fish you have, find, open its mouth, you find a silver coin, use it to pay for me and you. What's that all about? I mean, Jesus is the creator. Snap your finger and give him the coin already. Jesus doesn't work magic. He's a creator. You know, he's going to make you participate in the process of the miracle. And so you have a chance to believe God along the way or to doubt. Because Peter wasn't carrying his fishing gear around with him all day long. In fact, he has stashed the fishing gear somewhere. After Jesus called him, he dumped the thing, you know, and he followed Jesus. So now that Jesus said, well, you're going out fishing today, Peter said, I'm going out fishing. Yep. Oh, well, I got to go get some fishing gear. Maybe he no longer had one. Maybe he had to go borrow. Maybe he had to go buy. Maybe he had to go to his house and get a spare. I don't know. But he had to do something because he did not have his fishing gear on him. So the moment, from the time that Jesus told him that thing, to the time that he went and got his fishing gear and went down to the lake, you know, he had an opportunity to be acting his faith or to be doubting. But the devil said, you know, come on now, Peter. You know, who ever heard of such a thing? Whoever such a thought of such a thing that you would, you know, find a coin in the mouth of a fish? Whoever, if a fish swallowed a coin, you'd be dead already. The fish will never come up for you to catch a fish. You know, that's not going to happen. And then, so all those thoughts will be coming into his head. And he say, oh, come on. You know, how do you know that? Okay, even if there was a fish that had a coin, how do you know that it's going to be the very first fish that you catch? But that's what Jesus told him. So the devil will tell him all these things. You know, but Jesus is the God of miracles. He spoke it. You got to act it and you got to believe it. So finally, well, Peter had to shrug all those things off. Grab his fishing gear. And she's probably struggling with it. Well, am I this here? Okay, well, then I had to do it. The master said so. So well, I don't know about this thing, but nevertheless, because he said so, I'm going to do it. So he went down there, you know, cast in his hook, caught the fish, pulled it out, and lo and behold, right inside its mouth was a coin. My goodness. And did you know that from the moment that Jesus spoke that word, there was a coin somewhere in that lake. Maybe it fell in there. Maybe somebody threw it in. I don't know. Maybe the Lord created it. I don't know. But it was there. But from the moment that Jesus said it, the fish were hundreds of feet away or some miles away. They heard his voice. And every one of them was struggling. I'm going to be the one to catch that coin. You know, because the creation, they respond to the voice of the master. You know, there was an errand that the master put out. You know, there's a coin in there and you'll find a fish, the first one. And bring it up and you get the coin. And so all those fish began to scramble for that coin. That's exactly right. I'm going to be the one to get that coin. And the winner is, drum rolls, please. There was this one fish that was the winner. Did the master's bidding. That's exactly right. And he brought that coin to Peter. But Peter had to believe that process the whole time. You know, that's how faith works. So ladies and gentlemen, he is the God of miracles. But do you believe? You know, do you believe? If you can only believe, All things are possible to him that believes. But do you believe? Jesus said, even in this same verse, chapter 11 of Mark and 22, he said, look, I say unto you, if you shall say to this mountain, he was looking at some mountain there. I don't know which mountain it was, but he was looking at a literal mountain and said, look, if you can say to this mountain. Now that's saying, that's not pray. Say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now look at the process. You say the thing, you tell it where to go. One time, you know, one man said, look, you know, don't cast us out. Send us into the swine. There were legions of demons inside the man. And Jesus said, go. Hallelujah. And they went headlong into those swine, and those things that drowned headlong and perished. Ladies and gentlemen, you are of more value than thousands of swine. That's right. The life of one man worth a whole lot more than thousands of swine. Because they hated Jesus for destroying their pigs. And I said, look, just say it. Tell the thing where to go. You know, get out of my body. Go to dry places. Or whatever. You know, send them out. Jesus said, cast them out. And so, but here's the next thing. Shall not doubt in his heart. After you say it, you know, first of all, you got to say the specific thing. You can't just ramble. Be specific. Say it. And after you say it, then don't doubt it in your heart. This is the process. And then Jesus said, well, but believe. Now, sometimes doubt will come. And Daniel said, the Lord is a dissolver of doubts. Yeah, he is a dissolver of doubts. Even the kings around Daniel, they figured it out. God is a dissolver of doubts. You know, so dissolve every doubt. Some people say doubt your doubts. Well, you know, I don't even like to have any doubts. I just believe in the word of God. You know, and I believe the words out of my mouth. Unless I don't say it, you know, sometimes you know, I may just be acting like a man and not doing anything. But the moment, you know, I stir up myself and I say it, that's it. You know, I just say it and don't doubt it in your heart. But believe it in what you already said. And then he said, well, you shall have whatsoever you say. So that's the process. So when you are praying, you know, we pray, say, Lord, you know, I got a tumor, I got a cyst, I got a this, you know, let it disappear, let it die by fire. Well, do you believe it when you prayed it? Absolutely. You know, and so exactly it shall be. Glory to God. If you believe it, don't believe it, don't pray it, and then be acting some other way. That's not going to work. And sometimes the mercy of God will overrule. Even when people are not believing. But that's rarely. You got to believe. You know, rarely will God overrule. He will when it has to do with his eternal purpose. Even if you are not believing. Even though Sarah was not believing, it had to do with the eternal purpose of God. So God overruled. But, you know, in your life, for your circumstances, for things around you, you better be believing God. You know, what you got to lose by believing God? Well, here are some things you got to lose by believing God. Lose that tumor. Lose that cancer. Lose that sickness. Get rid of all. Those are the things you lose by believing God. You never lose anything of value. But you get rid of all the negative things. Now, what are you going to lose if you don't believe God? Well, everything. Everything if you don't believe God. You know, so, but believing is put your mouth where your faith is at. You know, that's another thing. You don't say I'm believing something and then say something else. No, put your mouth where your faith is at. Some people say put your mouth where your money is at, or put your money where your mouth is at, whatever. But put your mouth where your faith is at. You say, well, I believe in my heart. Well, Jesus, the word of God said that's not enough. You know, if you believe in your heart, then you must confess with your mouth. You know, and then you will be saved. That's what Romans chapter 10 says. So the same thing. Believe it with your mouth. I mean, your heart. Confess it with your mouth. And that's how it will happen. Praise God. You know, so that's our lesson today. And this room was inspired by an amazing testimony. You know, well, we've heard in the last week some amazing testimonies in this room. You know, Sister Julia came out. She gave us a testimony of how she prayed for someone, you know, and their cyst just disappeared. Hallelujah. You know, so now, did she do it? No. All she did was pray and believe God. You know, and the next time they went and looked out for it, they looked everywhere. Doctors did. Scope and all. You know, they couldn't find anything. It's gone by the power of God. Gone with the wind. You can say it that way. It's just gone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I heard an amazing testimony yesterday. And we prayed the same prayer, you know, after we heard that. And another sister came up and said, well, you know, something, something, something. And we prayed. And I remember praying. I said, Lord, let it die by fire. Let it be gone, just like the other one. Well, you hear it yourself in a moment. But do you believe the God of miracles? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word that's in our heart. And we believe. He said, well, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Well, if you believe, then speak accordingly. Well, I believe, therefore I have spoken. And I believe, and therefore I will speak. Praise God. I will speak of the mercies of the Lord. You can sing it. You can speak it forever. You know, with my heart, I will make known. And I believe it in my heart, but with my mouth, I will confess it. Unto, you know, gaining it, possession. Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.